Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Puff Pass Kick, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 293 of the Trade Addicts, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts podcast network, the DAP network, if you will. And we will, at least Rocky and I will. Mr. Puff Pass Kick over here is quote unquote having camera issues. I think he's just trying to build the mystique around himself.
Definitely.
Not giving his name, not showing us his face. You know, he's probably too good looking and we can't handle it. And if that's the case, I appreciate it because I would be so distracted just staring at you.
It's a smoky.
I was just going to say, we don't have that problem.
That I'm building, hence the handle.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. But we are here on another sad, injury-filled, depressing week of football. But we're not gonna let it bring us down. Before we do get into that anyway, you know, why don't you, Mr. Puff, I'm gonna call you for short. Why don't you, like, you know, I guess you already gave us your handle already, but why don't you do it again? You know, if you like to do things, if you like to tweet about certain things, if you whatever you want to do, just say a little bit about yourself.
I really like playing Dynasty League fantasy football and basically just like other people's tweets and like retweet stuff and stuff. You can find me on Twitter because I refuse to call it X.
Yep,
as you should.
At puff_pass_kick. But I don't like, I'm not an analyst or like, not really like providing a lot of data or takes or anything, just more kind of like along for the ride.
I mean, honestly, me too, but people still find a reason to follow me. I mean, they should be following Rocky. He's the smart one here anyway. But since you are
here, I follow
here,
both of you guys.
Well, we appreciate your admiration and
I don't know why people follow me anyway. I barely post on Twitter anymore, but
I usually just post about my kids or Disney stuff or about how good the last episode of Doctor Who was. So Mr. Puff, how long have you been playing fantasy football?
You know what? It sounds really silly to call me Mr. Puff. You can just call me John.
Fine.
I've been playing. I'm sorry to ruin the mystique. It sounds so silly now that we've been doing it for a few
Dude, I've had people like, call me Outhouse for a couple of years.
I'm sure you do. Like, I like the handle. Like, I was like, I thought of it because of like, I was like, okay, like the two shows I was listening to the most at the time were like at Trade Addicts and Dynasty Junkies. So I was like, and then like you had your handle and I was like, I kind of like this whole like junkies, like addicts thing, but I didn't want to be like Dynasty Meth Head or something, you know, it had to be something I like.
Good move.
Could
good
like move. Kind of embrace. no offense to anybody that does meth and plays Dynasty. Like if that's your jam and you're not hurting anybody, do you, man, you do you.
All right. So how long have you been playing?
I started playing the COVID year. Like the only other, like I did it once in like middle school, but that was when you had to like get like the newspaper and like do everything yourself, like add everything up. And like the cool kids in middle school, like wouldn't let me be in their league. So I did like one with like my family and stuff, but I had to do like all the teams myself, cause nobody else really cared. So like halfway through, I think I just kind of gave up on that. And then, I always wanted to play, but for whatever reasons, like, I'd like work a job and it would be like, oh, we don't allow that here or whatever. So I just like always like missed out on like doing leagues. And then like the COVID year of all years, I played in a family league. So I think that was like 2020. And I had no idea what I was doing, but I like had Christian McCaffrey, Mike Williams, and Justin Herbert. So like the first, I was like 1-3, but I had like three of the top scoring guys like the first 3 weeks. So I was like, okay, what am I doing wrong that I have like apparently like a good team, but I like suck. So I started watching videos, and then after I ended up like turning my team around and winning that like redraft family league. And then after that season ended and the Super Bowl happened, that was like the Burrow Stafford Super Bowl, Rams Bengals. After that is when I found Dap Network. And then I've been, I think, I guess I'm now like, I guess second year dynasty. So I just like had this void after like the season ended. And then like, I had been hearing about Dynasty Superflex tight end premium, like 12 team, you know, like 14 team, blah, blah, blah. Like just pretty much anybody I got advice from during the regular season was like, you know, start this guy, but if you play Dynasty Superflex tight end premium, trade for this guy. And it just like, I started looking into it, and that's when I found, you guys. I found Trade Addicts, Junkies, Real Fantasy Timeline. Then one day I realized it was all part of one network, and been like sucked in ever since. I thought I'd be able to convince some people to play Dynasty with me, and like everyone I brought it up to is totally not into it. So fortunately I got in a league. Rocky was in the league, but he left. It was on Sleeper with Josh and Drew from Timeline are in it. And then I got in Junkies League 3, Listener League 3. So it's cool to like, I don't know, even though like I've been like DMing you guys for like over a year and stuff, like, and I know I don't like super know you, it's cool to, it's fun to be like in a league with some people that I kind of feel like I know, rather than just like totally random people I've never met. And I like the like people that come in the chats and stuff like that. And there's actually some crossover from the Junkies Listener League. Like some of the guys from that picked up Orphans in the league on Sleeper. So it's kind of funny how it all comes together.
So that worked perfectly. Cause what I'm hearing is Trade Addicts and Dynasty Junkies were the gateway drug for you getting into Dynasty Fantasy Football. And that is not really on brand for either of us at all, but super on brand for our names.
That's true. And I think he's just now he needs to get into TA12 for us so he can hit the trifecta.
No, you shut no, man, no, don't say like we have gone so long without you starting that TA12 stuff on me. No, I am maxed. All right, but while John is going and trying to get his internet working a little better, we'll talk about the news. Frank made the great point that Justin Jefferson is back. That is fantastic news. But again, I'll believe that when I see it. And it made sense that they would wait until the bye week was over. So I'm hoping it comes back now. So John, what are some of the best and worst trades you've made in Dynasty Fantasy Football?
I think one of the best ones I did was the year, like, so 2 years ago, like before Dable took over for the Giants and Danny Dimes had like a good year, I traded, it was Kendrick Bourne, Taysom Hill, and Sam Darnold for Danny Dimes. And I felt like that ended up being pretty good. It was super flex. and everybody was down on dimes.
And then it was nothing.
What's that?
I said you had a solid year, and then it was nothing.
Yeah, I should have dumped him in the league that I had him. I would have made like a nice profit. It was funny what you could get Goff and dimes for like 2 years ago, I guess. Like late seconds and stuff. It was just like really funny. Nobody wanted them. And then what's one of the worst trades I did? Let me think. Well, I know that just like this past weekend I traded for, okay, so I have a team, it's Superflex, and all I have is Burrow and Fields. And then I picked up like all the stragglers this year, like Aiden O'Connell and Dorian Thompson Robinson. I have a bunch of random those guys. Tyson Badgent. So I traded Debo Samuel and Fields for Trevor Lawrence on Sunday. Mm. But the guy accepted the trade like after, I'm in Central Standard Time, so like after the noon games had started, he like accepted the trade, and the trade deadline was that week for this league. Oh, no. And so I couldn't start T-Law because like I didn't know if he was going to accept it or not. So I had to like start my roster, you know. Started what's his name? Tim Boyle. Boyle. No. That's like how bad it was. And I was so mad at Fields. I have enough field shares that like this was one team where I was like, okay, I don't want to ride him into the playoffs. I'm in second place, I think, in this league. And I was like, I need somebody a little more solid, because that last game he had, I think it was like Monday night versus the Chargers or something, and like he had like 11 points and he was just like dropping the ball everywhere. It was not good. I'm not an anti-Fields guy. Just like, man, for this one team, I just need like a steady, even like a 15 point. I tried to get Russ Wilson for like a second, and the guy was like not responding at all. I would have given like more, but it just seemed like he wasn't even like responding to trades. Then I watched the Monday night game, and I was like, oh, what a time to trade for T-Law, you know. Fortunately, it sounds like it's just a high sprain, and not like, I thought from the reaction that he had on the field, I thought it was like, I was getting like Rodgers flashbacks when he was like, I'm going to sit here until they bring out the cart because I can't walk, you know. I was like, uh-oh, this is not good. But so I guess, I don't know, maybe it's not too bad of like a, far as the scale goes, like depending on how you view Debo and Fields and where Fields ends up next year, but bad as far as timing on my part. Yeah.
That's rough, man. That's cool. We'll talk about my trade for Tank Dell in a little bit. what is the guiding principle you take with you when you are offering or evaluating trades?
I think that there's two guiding principles. One is like basically kind of just like screw you, you know, like just like I'm going to do what it takes. Like, I don't care. I'm not here to like make friends with league mates or whatever. Just like, you know, just tune everything out and focus in on winning. It's like a hard road to do, and I don't really like to do it, but I think that's like one guiding principle you can do if you can just absolutely stick all the time. But the route I like to go is I try to like make note of trade offers that like bother me and then not do that. I try, like, you know, if I can tell a team is like totally rebuilding and trying to like, you know, get their first round pick to be like as high up as it can be, like, I'm not gonna like try to like sell them like Derrick Henry for their first or something. You know what I mean? It's like, I know like what they're trying to do. So I'm just like, I'm not gonna waste their time with like silly offers like that. So I think sort of my guiding principle is like the sort of golden rule. It's like, what kind of trade offer would you want to see in your inbox, you know? Or like, how would you feel if somebody sent this to you? Like, are you going to be like, oh, that's an intriguing offer? Are you going to be like, dude, don't waste my time with this, you know? So
another one of those send good offers people. I mean, Whatever, man. Whatever.
I think that, like,
people expect too much
from us. Despite what you want to say about whatever trade calculators, I feel like the market's kind of gotten to a point where, like, you can't pull too much over on anybody. So it's like, you might as well just be real with people, like, and just like, hey, I want this guy. How much extra are you going to make me pay or whatever? I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, I think, like, this sort of, like, swindling, like, the swindling days are done, and maybe not everyone's caught on to that. Like, I think a lot of people are aware of, like, a general sort of ballpark price for a lot of these guys, you know?
Yeah, it's absolutely a fantastic point. Like, in every aspect of this game, edges are so much harder to come around by just because of the amount of information out there. And, you know, you find yourself playing to your level. Like, sure, if you want to win money, you try and find suckers in a league. But if you're playing for fun, you try and find suckers in your league anyway, just because you still want to win, right? But, like, more than not, it's people that won't take bad offers, but that does not stop me from sending them. So you calm yourself down. All right, so let's get back to the news. We talked about Justin Jefferson coming back. I mean, there's nothing else to say except, oh God, please come back, Justin Jefferson. The other things I have, and then we'll talk about things if we want to talk about them. I'll just read them out, though. Brett Rypien signs with the Jets. Maybe we should stop and talk about that for a minute, right? That's
because, super exciting.
Oh God, what were they? What are they? What? What are they doing?
Well, mind. Yeah, I mean, Zach Wilson's reluctant to start, so I mean, they got to do something.
They already already ruined his career. They don't need to ruin his life by putting him behind that terrible offensive line.
I just thought that was a hilarious report. He's reluctant to go back.
I wonder if that's real or not.
I know.
Christian Kirk out for the season with a core injury. I did not see this coming. I am sad. Very, very sad by that. Trevor Lawrence apparently has a high ankle sprain. He's considered week to week. I'm reading something, or Frank, I should say, told me that he's not even ruled out for Sunday. Let that man rest. Give him a week. You're in the playoffs so far. Just let Trevor rest. Ramondre Stevenson missed several weeks. I forgot to write down why he's going to miss several weeks, but Ramondre Stevenson is going to miss several weeks. And Tank Dell broke his fibula, blocking up the middle for a goal line run.
Yeah, what is up with that?
There is no good answer. Like, this is, I remember week two of the season when, you know, Kenneth Gainwell was hurt, DeAndre Swift came in and just destroyed it. I said, you know, you should just glue the offensive coordinator's feet to the floor. And just everybody in Philly should get to walk past him with their hands out and just slap him in the face. Like, we should be doing this to the Houston offensive coordinator. What are you thinking, putting a 5'6", 80-pound dude blocking up the middle? Like, honestly,
Tank Dell. Yeah, I'm so...
Go, man.
So mad about that. So mad about that.
This is the one thing to me that actually has dynasty impact. Because, I mean, Ramondre Stevenson,
high ankle sprain, by the way.
What?
High ankle sprain, by the way. Also, Kenny Pickett with a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, but none of that really has much dynasty impact. But Tank Dell, a lot goes into this. You know, did we believe that what we saw was real? You know, do you think that them bringing in another wide receiver, which they were probably going to do anyway, affects his value? He's 24, which I don't think most people realize that he came into the league pretty old for a rookie. You know, so what does this do to his value? And, like, every time I stop and think about it, I still have Tank Dell at this point or as a top 15 wide receiver because he, like, I bought him in Trade Addicts 1, and I'm sad because I was trying to make the playoffs, but I'm still not sad to have him on my team. I'm not going to go trade him away for someone who is scoring points right now. But, like, to me, I'm very curious what your guys' opinion are. And since John either can't or won't hear Rocky, I don't know if he's choosing to or not, I'm going to let John go first. What are your thoughts on Tank Dell? What, like, where do you have him ranked-ish, because, I mean, I don't really do ranks, but I still kind of talk like I do. What are your feelings on Tank Dell and his future?
For starters, my feelings are I'm heartbroken.
Yeah.
Like, he's just been – if you have him on any team, it's like one of those gems where it's just – it's so fun to have him this season. You know what I mean? And I play one redraft league, and we had Puka and Stroud and Tank stacked. And, like, I think we're, like, third or fourth – I think we're, like, fourth place right now. But – I'm heartbroken. It's been such a fun ride. I don't know enough about the injury and like the recovery from it. I feel like if that's not, if it's like a common thing and people come back from it, like I'm not too worried about like the 2024 is like, I wouldn't be too concerned. I think it's kind of one of those where like, I think one of the trades, not to jump ahead on the show sheet, but like, I think somebody snagged him in one of your leagues for like a late first. And I was kind of almost surprised they didn't, I was like, I would take that all day, like before the injury. I wonder kind of what sort of buy, I wonder kind of maybe like what I'm surprised he got him for a late first is what I'm trying to say. A late 24 first. I felt like he normally would go for more. And I guess I'm curious to see kind of what kind of discount maybe you could get on him now from panicky people. And I should have just opened with, I'm still all in on Tank Dell.
Yeah, we got that from all that you were saying, and I'm there with you. We will hold on talking about that trade for a little bit because that was me. So Rock, Tank Dell thoughts.
Yeah, I'm in on Tank Dell too. It's excuse me. Oh, geez. It's like I said, when Puka started rising up, it's, you don't play this well. I don't care what the circumstances are, who's not there, who is there. You don't start your career off this well and just like disappear. And he's done it over an extended stretch now. And he's, you know, very high production. So, yeah, I love Tank Dell. I'm with you. We actually talked about him on Junkies this past week. Matt Price, our buddy, was on, and I think he said exactly what he did. I think he said he has him at wide receiver 15 or 16 is what it was.
Yeah.
And I'm right there with you. He's good. He's like you said, he's not as young as we might think he is. I didn't even realize he was 24, but 24 is still young. So,
yeah.
He's just not 22 like you, or 21 like you might expect a guy that just came.
Yeah, we're getting way too ageist. Like 25 is almost 27, which is almost 28, which is almost 29, which is almost 30, and you're dead at 30.
Yes,
yeah, so. You might as well sell at 24. Like that's how ridiculous it's getting. So I pulled up the DLF trade finder, and there were two trades done today that are simple because the rest of them are very lots of pieces. Actually, no, they're not. So Tank Dell for Jaden Reed, which don't get me wrong, I really like Jaden Reed. He's doing really well. It's another one of those players that I don't think anyone really expected this well from him. But man, that's still Tank Dell. I don't care about that injury. Tank Dell for Kyren Williams, which is a point grab, which
I understand more. Like Jaden Reed, you're not even getting the points. Like, I mean, you're getting points, but you're not getting like Kyren Williams points.
You're not getting Tank Dell points.
Yeah, you know? And you're not getting Tank Dell points. But I'm saying like, even a discounted Tank Dell because of the injury should be worth more than Jaden Reed.
And the last one that makes
was the trade Tank Dell for Jaden Reed straight up?
Yep. But The team that traded away Tank Dell, their team name is Jamar Binks, which makes me hate them. So that makes sense. And the last trade is Tank Dell, Devin Singletary, and 2/3 for Chris Godwin and Drake London. I don't hate that. You're not really getting points, but I think you're getting the value back with London and Godwin. It's not as bad.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have Dell. But
I would rather have Dell. I mean, Singletary, and again, really
this bad, was but just made.
That one, oh, that was the second. That may have actually been before the injury. That was Saturday. Never mind. The only two trades were those two one-for-ones. But let's just move on and talk about it. We're going to do the Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts team leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 point per tight end reception. and 0.05 points for return yardage in all leagues except for TA1, and we do have a TA1 trade. But I guess before we get to that, Chris, in the chat brought up 1-for-1 trade, Tank Dell for Nico Collins. Like, look, I really think there's a chance that the Texans bring in a wide receiver. If they do, there's a lot of very big wide receivers in this draft. So I'm worried about Nico Collins way more than I am Tank Dell. So, like, doing that, I get it. You're going to get those points. Why are you worried about Nico Collins? Because I think there's a very good chance that Houston drafts a wide receiver or goes and signs a wonderful free agent wide receiver like T. Higgins, in which case it's going to be a bigger bodied X type guy like Nico is, and not the kind of player that Tank is. So, I mean,
why are you bringing this negative energy towards Nico, man?
Oh, and Frank is saying
there's a possibility this could never happen.
Mike Evans to Houston is a narrative as well. Look, I'm just saying it's a possibility. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to be real.
I'm teasing you. I'm making stuff up as I go along. It's fine. The other thing too is like I feel like John Mechie could have a bigger role next year, and they haven't like utilized like Xavier Hutchinson at all. And you're probably right. Like, there's a very good chance they could draft another receiver. It kind of seems like Stroud can do that thing where, like, even if he has lesser weapons, he can make them look good. You know, like Bobby Trees is like a thing again. It's like,
yep.
It's funny.
So the TA1 trade was I got Tank Dell for Rockies first. So. I would say it would be the 112, but he sucked it up this week when I needed him to win. So it's going to be the 111 because I'm mad at Rocky now.
I just did that to troll you.
And it worked real good. honestly, like I'm spike competing in TA1. You know, someone else has my first, so I might as well make the playoffs. And I sent that first for maybe 6 different players, and that got accepted rather quickly, and I was pretty thrilled about it. You know, the guy just said, he's like, look, man, I want to go in on picks and, you know, just go for it. And he went for it. And we were both happy, and that's all that really matters. But I think Tank Dell should be worth more than a late first, but I'm not sad he took it.
Yeah, I think that's a great trade for you. Injury or no injury, I think definitely before the injury probably was worth. I offered a first and what was essentially a late first and was essentially a late second. This is that hot sauce league where thirds are like seconds. So yeah, right. And I sent that over and it got rejected. So I would be glad to get him for a first. And especially since you're not like, you're probably not really legit contending anyway, so I don't think it's a huge deal that you lost the points that you thought you were getting from him. And like I said, if you're a rebuilding team, I'd be fine sending a late first for Tank Dell.
Oh, yeah. Like, getting in the playoffs would be an absolute bonus for me just because to screw over that guy that has my pick. There's no way in heck I'm winning this league. Like, that is not absolutely at all going to happen. But, you know, it's just fun to give a guy some crap that wouldn't give me my first back.
And of course, that pick's going to be the 112, so.
111. All right, so we've been talking about Tank Dell for plenty long enough. Let's move on. 2 24 seconds for Kyren Williams, a 24 third and fourth. What do you think of that, John?
I actually like that deal. I'd be surprised if you could get Kyren for just a second and, like, with getting the third and fourth back, like, I don't know if I was competing and I needed a running back, like from this week going forward, I would totally do that deal
I agree that I like it from the getting Kyren Williams perspective. I absolutely need a first if I'm selling Kyren Williams at this. He's scoring way too, even if it only ends up being this year, he's worth a first to a contending team, in my opinion. So
he is the running back 3 in points per game on the season.
Yeah, it's like every game, it seems like he's getting 20 to 25 points.
I guess that's what I'm saying is, like, if I was getting the Kyren side, like if I'm getting Kyren and a third and a fourth for 2 seconds, and I'm like contending, I think that's like a sweet deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, agree. I don't even think you should.
I agree. I think you'd have to give a first for him right now. If for most people, you know, I'd be really surprised. I'm surprised that that's a good deal if you're on the Kyren side, in my opinion.
Yeah, like I get if you're rebuilding, you want those points off your team because, you know, there are a lot of leagues where it's a competition to get to as low as you can to get the earliest pick. So you do want Kyren Williams off your roster, but like I get like just getting him off your team and then like using that to rationalize like, well, 2 seconds is kind of a first. I feel okay with that. And honestly, it's not terrible. It really isn't. Like, it's probably fine value, but like, I think it would just make me feel better to see a one there. And the thing is, like, one of those seconds, I'm not even looking at what they are. Like, if one of those seconds was the 201, it would be really silly to say, well, I need a first. And it, like, you know, but that it makes so much difference to our brains to see that one in the front.
And I know a lot of people don't care about having running backs in a rebuild, but if you're a rebuilding team, I'm definitely holding up first because I don't even hate holding Kyren Williams. He's a 23-year-old second-year running back. It's not like he's, you know, about to die or something. So
he's a running back. They all are.
If you can turn it around relatively quick, I get that, but if you can turn around relatively quickly, he could be part of your contending team still. If you know, you don't have to always like go all the way to the 101 and take 4 years to get to contention again.
Yeah, but it's so fun when you do that. So next we move on to Trade Addicts 2, which now this is a little sadder of a trade. Oh man, there's so many injured players in trades that were traded before they were injured. Jameson Williams and a 24 second for Ramondre Stevenson and DeMario Douglas. Rocky, what do you think?
This is a weird one because I don't know what to make of Jameson Williams. Are you into Jameson Williams still?
Nope. I never really was. I was open to the upside that could be there. And, you know, I get that it's still early in his career to write him off because you should write off his rookie year. So this technically kind of is his rookie year. But I don't think he has that ceiling that we wanted him to in the draft process. So, like, he's good, but not yay.
Yeah.
He had that end around touchdown where he was fast.
I would agree with you guys. I would like, even though Ramondre just got hurt, I like Ramondre and DeMario Douglas side better. Like, New England never really seems to have a wide receiver, and they finally do have one. I have no idea, like, who's going to be quarterback next year there. But and I think despite whatever injury, like, Ramondre is still, like, he's not too old, and I think he's still a good back. People panic whenever a rookie gets hurt. I really don't know what to make of Jameson Williams, like, going forward. And when you were talking about Nico a bit ago, I kind of feel the same way about Jameson Williams where like Laporta really hit and like, you know, they have Amon Ra and like, I kind of feel like they're not using Jameson to the amount that people had kind of hyped him up where it was going to be like, he was going to be running down the field, like every play and stuff. I don't think they're really utilizing him to the extent that people were hoping. And I kind of think you guys already said that, but I get kind of sketched out with Jameson Williams. And I feel like he still kind of costs, people still kind of want something for him if they have him, because they probably paid a first for him. I mean, so he's kind of one of those guys.
Yeah. I'm kind of with John here. That's what I was saying. Like, I was more into Jameson Williams coming into the league than you were, Russ, but yes. I probably shouldn't have been, because I've always liked to bring up that if guy doesn't do something in his first year in the league, even if it's due to injury, they hardly ever pan out. Oh my God. I'm like, I have something in my throat here. Anyway,
I get choked up talking about Jameson
Williams. I know. I was set such high hopes and it's just all dashed and I'm for clunked, but But, yeah, I think that I don't have much hope for him going forward. I mean, I think he'll be he can still be a solid player in the league, but he's not going to be someone that was worth like a mid first round pick that we all spent on him. So I'm fine giving up to him in the second for Mondre. This was done before the injury, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So especially before the injury, and not that. I don't think Ramondre's been like gangbusters this year, but he's a solid back, and it's basically almost like 2 seconds at this point, because I don't know that anyone's giving up a first for Jameis Williams. So, I would do 2 seconds for Ramondre.
Like, Ramondre's good. That's really what it is. He's good. He was actually having a pretty good stretch, like 3 or 4 games, but he's good. So here's what worries me about Jameson Williams. He has one – okay, this is actually hilarious. He has one game this season with more than 3 targets. In week 7, he had 6 targets. I'm going to give this away by asking, how many catches do you think he had?
6? 0? I figured it was 0. One or the other.
6 targets, 0 catches. Ouch. Every other game, the most he's gotten was 3. This past game, he got 1 target, 1 catch for 11 yards – and his first carry of the season happened to be a double reverse that went for a touchdown. Like, I'm absolutely fine moving these two, because DeMario Douglas seems like he's going to be a thing. Like, we don't know what their quarterback or that offense is going to be, but DeMario Douglas is doing pretty well on complete trash of an offense. So I think there's like, he's a bet.
Like they're one of those teams where it's like, if the Patriots like draft a QB, let's say next year, and even if they draft another receiver, like they still only have like DeMario Douglas and now like the new guy, like they don't have anybody else. So even if they draft like another good receiver, it's like that might actually be like helpful. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's like he's on a rookie contract and kind of came out of nowhere. Like, I think he's going to like stick around, because who have they had for the past like 5 years? Jacoby Myers.
Hey, man, he worked for a while.
And like no one.
I'm so sad that Juju has not worked out at all, but I guess that's really neither here nor there. So the last trade on our sheet.
I wasn't trying to talk.
No. I did not think you were, but still, it still hurt my feelings anyway.
I wasn't trying to talk smack about Jacoby Myers. I'm a big Jacoby Myers fan, for the record. I just was more ripping on the Patriots wide receiver situation over the past few years.
Oh, and it is low-hanging fruit. So the last trade we have on our sheet, Trade Addicts 10. This is a big one. So it is Sam Howell, Puka Nacua, Dontavian Wicks, and a 25 first for Deshaun Watson, Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, and DeAndre Hopkins. But this, I looked back, was actually post-Jonathan Taylor. So we knew Jonathan Taylor was hurt when this trade was made. I say we, I was not part of it. This was actually made in spite of me. I was trying to get a trade for Sam Howell and Puka and Tank Dell, actually. And he kept saying no, and then this trade went through. So Sam Howell, Puka, Dontavian Wicks, and a 25 first from a team that's in first place right now. And 4, Deshaun Watson, Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, and DeAndre Hopkins. I'm going to go first because I don't care. I want the younger players so easily on this. Like, I want Howell, Puka, Wicks, and the first. Like, I have no interest in Deshaun Watson. Like, I'm a competing team. He's not playing. He's not scoring well. He wasn't playing well in the first place. Derrick Henry, a free agent at the end of the season. Like, yeah, he'll probably score you points the rest of the season, especially, like, look, he didn't do great in November, but it's December. It is Derrick Henry time. But also, he's not getting the receptions. Like, it is full-on Tyjae Spears is the receiving back. But Derrick Henry's going to score those touchdowns, so that'll be fine. Jonathan Taylor, if he doesn't come back this season, this is even more of a waste. And Hopkins is just – the Titans' offense in general is up and down too much for me to depend on DeAndre Hopkins on a championship-bound roster. But Puka and Sam Howell, I'm guessing – by this, Sam Howell was a QB3 on their team, but even still, he's scoring like a top 10 QB. So, like, to me, I want Howell, Puka, Wicks, and the first, and it's not really super hard for me. What about you, John? Nope. What about you, Rocky?
It's closer for me than it is for you, probably because I still value Watson, probably more than I should. And I get if you're competing, you know, he's not going to get you any points. But like you said, Henry, I would be scared to death to roster after this year. Yeah. And Hopkins means nothing to me at this point, pretty much. So I still take the younger player side, but it's a little closer for me. But I am coming around on Hal. I was not a big Hal guy, but he keeps scoring, and he's going to be the starter in, at least next year.
Do you guys think – I hear a lot of people – I'm sorry to cut you off, Rocky. I just wanted you guys to know I was back. But I do hear a lot of people, like, it's mixed. And I'm – it's like some people are like, they got their guy in Howell. And then other people are like, they're totally drafting another guy next year. And I'm like – it's like this real mixed thing. And it kind of, if you guys were both going younger on this one – I was going to agree with you. My only thing is I don't know what to make of Howell because he kind of seems like he's had a really good year, but then some people are just assured that like they're going to draft a new guy next year. So I don't know enough about that stuff, but
I think it's in the middle of those two things. I don't think they necessarily think they definitely have their guy, but I don't think they're drafting somebody next year.
I mean, the rest of the season is going to matter a lot because they have the number 4 pick right now, which very well could be a quarterback because as of now, I mean, there's Caleb Williams who's going to go at, you know, 1, Drake May, probably 2 to New England. And then JT Daniels, who's going to supposedly win the Heisman, will probably get drafted pretty early. And then there's even another, you know, 1 or 2 quarterbacks that can probably get drafted in the first round also. So like, there's a lot of quarterbacks that will be drafted probably to teams that need them. But yeah, like, I mean, I have no idea. And now I see that the Bears are looking at Bieniemy for a head coach, which don't get me wrong. Yes. Go give that man a head coaching job. But like in my head, I want him to stay in Washington. And part of that is because I was hoping he would like Howell and keep him there.
Yeah.
So I'm there. I'm in on Howell because I liked him from the beginning. But I don't have any backing for it. I don't have any confidence whatsoever that he stays there.
He still does make a lot of real-life NFL mistakes, though.
Oh, yes. Yes, he does. All right, so let's move on to listener questions. At Messy Messick. Messy Messick. All right, man. Make your handle easier for me to say. I asked what people wanted for Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever they celebrate. For some reason, I asked my wife for more New York Jets gear. Like, is that instead of coal in your stockings, you get Jets gear? Like, I mean, I don't know. I'm not up on those traditions. I don't know. What are your thoughts on Fields? I drafted a lot of Fields in Superflex leagues, and I'm starting to wonder if it's time to get what I can for him or ride it out. What kind of value would you offload him for? What are your Fields on Jets, John? Jets, John. Wow. No, Fields, John.
My thoughts on Fields?
Yep.
I'm not out on him. I'm really curious. I wish I had a crystal ball because I don't think the Bears are going to stick with him. I think they're going to pick a different QB and probably go with like a new head coach and just go in a new direction. I feel like with the QB market, like somebody's going to want Fields. I just hope it ends up in a like a better situation because he's a really fun. He can be a really fun guy to watch. You know what I mean? Like. And he's really fun for fantasy. So I know for me, I definitely want, in Superflex, want at least a mid 24 first, maybe like a little something on top, depending on what's available. I feel like there was a point again this season where he hit a real low kind of in value and he's like proven himself enough that you should still at least be able to get like a nice 24 first, you know, not like a late one and like maybe a little, yeah, I think a little piece or two on top even maybe like he's still got that, that just like crazy spontaneous rushing upside where he can like lose a game but still get you like 30 points, you know, like it's kind of funny.
One thing I was just looking at here, I get there's a difference in a real life stability perspective, but points per game, and I know Fields is a little off because he missed some games, but who do you think scored more, Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence?
Man, Trevor Lawrence hasn't been having a great season. Yeah. So
it's Lawrence, but there's 0.2 points per game difference. And like, I think everybody still feels like Trevor Lawrence is worth a ton and loves Trevor Lawrence in Dynasty, and everyone hates Justin Fields. Like I said, part of that is probably because there's obviously much more of a chance that Fields could get replaced with how bad the Bears are and how up and down he's been. But I just, from a fantasy perspective, if he I still think, and I've said this before, even if the Bears were to get the number one pick and draft a quarterback, Fields, I think they would have to trade Fields at that point, and he'd be starting somewhere with the state of quarterback in this league. So I still am pretty high on Fields. I was high on him coming out, and I know it's been hit or miss. And I think we talked about this earlier in the year, like in October, he was starting to heat up. Kind of like he had the year before, and then he got hurt. And now he's back, and then they had a bye. So it's kind of up in the air, I guess, because he's missed so much time. But I still think there's a lot of talent there. I still think there's not a lot of talent around him. He's got DJ Moore now, but that's about it. I guess Cole Kmet maybe, and not much else to throw to. Yeah, but I just think – it might even be better if the Bears draft a quarterback and he gets to go somewhere else, actually. But yeah, I still have a lot. I still have hopes for Fields that I definitely see I could see him still ending up kind of being a consistent QB1 if he can kind of get the coaching and put it all together.
Yeah, exactly. Everything Rocky just said. I think that coaching staff needs to go away. So either they draft a quarterback and some team wants Justin Fields, they pay for Justin Fields in draft capital, which means they'll use him, or they don't draft a quarterback, in which case they're committing to Justin Fields. Like, imagine they trade back like two spots, you know, and draft Marvin Harrison Jr. And you have Marvin Harrison Jr., ex extraordinaire, and then DJ Moore on the other side. And then Roshan Johnson is another year into the league. More playing running back. Hey, how's it going? You're back again. And he's great receiving out of the backfield. Like, and Kmet, who is coming into his own as a tight end. Like, that offense has the ability, has the personnel and potential to be great. They just traded a really good pick for Chase Cleveland.
You not hear me?
I hear you, but I was in the middle of talking. Our next question from top 10 scoring Scott Fishbowl at Real Fantasy TL. Is it worth going after Mazda Mitch Trubisky? I've never heard that one before. Me or either. CJ Beathard if you are in the playoff hunt. All I want for Christmas is to win SFB 13. LOL, JK. I just want everyone to enjoy the holidays with the people that are closest to them. Josh is too nice. He should have just left it at I want to win SFB.
Yes.
And he's scoring like he might. So my answer is no. You don't want to start either of them if you're competing. That's easy for me.
I guess if you're desperate in Scott Fishbowl because you've lost like another quarterback or something.
All right. So let's move on. At @Scott_Sidlow. I know that guy. Another dude who I think is crushing it Scott Fishbowl style. I don't have many 1QB dynasty leagues remaining in my portfolio, but the ones I'm in, I'm competitive. So with all the QB injuries, I find myself needing a quarterback in a few. They appear to be massively overvalued. Shouldn't a first virtually get you any non-elite starting quarterback, especially when they're in the second or third best team that's 4-9? Other the second or third best on a team that's 4-9. Are my leagues just stingy or has the value changed? QBs up or draft picks down? Again,
I think a first should get you virtually any starting quarter, like everyone except the elite
quarterbacks. Like, I'm not giving up Lamar or especially the top three for a random first, but yeah, like you should be able to get like Brock Purdy, Jordan Love for a first without really, especially because, like you said, and that's one of the reasons why 1QB got a little for a lot of people. It's silly that you have these guys on benches instead of being able to start them. I was just gonna say
I think you should probably get like a golf or a DAC for a first, which should get you a ton of points.
I was gonna say, yeah, I think you should totally be able to get like golf, DAC, like maybe if you're lucky, like even like Herbert, if he's like having like some bad weeks or something, you know. If it's like one QB and they have like four quarterbacks, like I don't know. I definitely feel like they're being kind of stingy. I feel like you can get Russell Wilson for a second in Superflex right now, like if you find the right guy.
Yep.
So like to not be able to get a decent quarterback for a first and a one QB, it's like,
yeah. It sounds like it's those.
Yeah, you should be able to get like Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen for a first, but like,
yeah,
definitely. I think even like maybe like a Kyler or like somebody like that with even like a little upside, you know, like, yeah, you should be able to get somebody.
Yep. Last question at Dynasty Beach Boy. Do you think it's time to move off of tight ends like Kelce, Kittle, and Andrews for younger tight ends like Laporta, McBride, Kincaid, especially right before or during the playoffs while it's point scoring season? If you are contending, what do you do? And then what he wants for Christmas? Trade Addicts gear. Remember when we used to actually have that?
Yeah.
I'm wearing a shirt I made myself just because I wanted a long sleeve shirt. Yeah, we had a shop for a while, and then it turned into the Scott Fishbowl shop, and then it just never recovered after that, because even though the SFB stuff moved off of... Is it time to come off of tight ends like Kelce, Kittle, and Andrews? No.
Yeah.
Look, are you sad to have Laporta, McBride, or Kincaid on your team? Absolutely not. Five of these players are scoring really well, and Andrews would be had he not hurt himself. Like, so I really don't think, I think you're overthinking it if you now take Kelce or Kittle and trade down, unless you're getting a lot on top. And the thing is, you won't. You will not find someone who is probably willing to one for one Kelce to Laporta. Like, Laporta is doing well enough. Kincaid is doing well enough. McBride, maybe you'll be able to get away with because people might not believe it enough, but I do.
I've been amazed at what McBride has been doing. Like, he went from 0 to 100. Like, it's just like he was doing nothing, and now he looks amazing.
Second Ertz got it. Ertz went out of the way, and yep, it was the McBride.
Exactly.
Again, it sucks. It took Ertz's injury to do it, but to the point where Ertz got healthy and they cut him. Like, yep. You know, they think it's real also, and Kyler likes tight ends. It's not even the offense, because it's a new offense this year, and he's still just peppering tight ends. So I really do like I'm still iffy on Kincaid, because like I just have a feeling like Dawson Knox comes back and Kincaid disappears again. Like, that's the silliness.
No, that's not going to happen.
It shouldn't. No. That doesn't mean it won't. I don't think you purposely move off them if you're competing. If you're not, and you can get someone to sprinkle a little bit on top of McBride or Kincaid to move off of Kelce, Kittle, I would probably one for one any of them. Andrews,
I'd say that,
Andrews, like, now that he's hurt, if you're still competing, maybe I one for one with Laporta, but that's probably it. Everyone else, I would need something on top.
Yeah, even Kittle to me has always been very up or down, and he's doing that again this year. So I would be fine doing that. Even, I mean, you probably get a little bit on top of like a McBride, but definitely the other two, I would even consider Laporta. I think, like you said, I don't think you're going to get Laporta straight up for any of these guys, including probably Kelce. So yeah,
I don't think you do.
Yeah. So I mean, for most people,
yeah, I think the day has passed that you can get Laporta straight up for Kelce. You got to put something on top of Kelce to get Laporta now.
Yep.
I forgot to say shout out to Scotty Sidlow in that last question. I think I liked this question that was it Dynasty Beach Boy? Was that his name?
Yeah.
The tight end question on Twitter. I liked this question because I actually have a contending team. I'm either in second or third, and I have Kelce. I have Engram too. I can't remember. I don't think it's premium this league, but I was thinking of putting out offers to see if maybe somebody, I think the guy that had Laporta was like not doing well. And he also had Andrews and like somebody else. And I was like, well, he doesn't need like all these tight ends right now. But then I, it like dawned on me and I was like, well, I'm competing. And like, isn't the purpose to like have Kelce for this reason, you know? And then of course, like the last few weeks, like, I don't know if like it's because Taylor Swift's on tour or what, but it just seems like he's not, just seems like he's not doing his thing, you know, like the way that he used to. So kind of wish I would have put the feelers out there now for that. I think it's a excellent time to investigate trying to move off some of these guys if you're in a position to, because like I can see what you're saying, Outhouse, about Dawson Knox coming back. I'm just doing the fingers crossed, like, no, he'll just like block a whole bunch and they'll still throw to Kincaid all the time. Like, I'm just like, fingers crossed for my Kincaid shares. I think if you can move off some of these guys, like some of the, I know there's like this myth of like first round tight ends not landing, but it's like these guys are obviously like killing it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think like, I think it's like pretty clear that like, you know, Kincaid and like Laporta are like excellent guys to be starting right now if you have them. So why not go younger if you can? But good luck. Cause like I said, I mean, maybe you have to find like somebody that's just like super, super like into like this big Travis Kelce fan. That's like, sure, I'll give you Laporta for Kelce in a third. You know, it's like, I don't know too many people that are going to do that right now. So
yeah, but it's kind of great that we've hit this point where there's a decent amount of nice scoring tight ends. Like this doesn't happen very often. So it's great that we're here regardless of what age you want to sit at with all of that. But that is the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. I know you had some issues along the way, Mr. Puff. I'll throw it out there one last time. But I was still thrilled that you were here. I hope you had a good time and get your crap together and we'll have you back on. All right.
Yeah, man, it was great talking to you guys. Thank you for putting up with my technical difficulties. I apologize. It was really fun talking to you. Sorry that it was the way it was.
No, we are just glad you were here. Glad you made it to the end and you had fun. That's all that matters. For our stuff, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can hang out with us while we record. Let us know all the stuff we're forgetting to talk about. Say that, Frank, can you imagine Brock Bowers on KC to replace Kelce? That would just be wow. You say stuff like that at the end of a show to just like make me want to keep talking for another 20 minutes, but I'm not going to do it because it's late and I'm tired. Also, we have our awesome chat on Discord, the Cool Kids Club. But most importantly, fantasycares.org. We are doing our Toys for Tots shopping these days. And right now we have going on an advent calendar, 25 jerseys in 25 days. Fantasycares.org/GG. Go there and donate. $5 gets you on the calendar for one day, an additional dollar for every day for the rest through the 25th. And you get in the drawing every single day. Me, Bob Gilchrist and I go live and give away a jersey every single day to a random person who has donated. So get in on that, get yourself some awesome stuff and help us get some awesome stuff for kids for Christmas. And I'm spent. So good night, guys.
Good night, Russ.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants.
Daddy's the best.
See ya.